Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us in this Wake Up Call. We've reached the end of the week, and we are heading into this weekend. Preseason games all over the place in the NFL. Two last night. And when you had the four preseason games, most of us got accustomed to how that did look, right? You would see starters play a little bit in the first game, maybe not at all. Second game, they'd see a little bit more action. Starters would play a lot in the third one. And then the fourth one, no one would really play. That was kind of the schedule for most teams. It would be adjusted based on certain circumstances and whatnot. But for the most part, the fourth preseason game didn't really see any starters, really, or anybody. It was just a game to get some people some reps and maybe look at the last few guys before you get down to your roster limit. But now with three preseason games, teams are sort of figuring it out what this will look like. And in the third preseason game, it looks like we will see some starting quarterbacks play. Tom Brady's expected to start Saturday when the Buccaneers take on Indianapolis. Patrick Mahomes has seen action in all three games, including last night, saw a little bit of action, did the choir huddle in honor of Len Dawson, which is a very good look. But overall, again, this is just to be healthy, get them out of there, and then we start the season on September 8th. But college football is starting this weekend. There's a game in Dublin, Ireland that's going to be between Northwestern and Nebraska. Not a huge schedule of games coming up this weekend. I mean, nobody's really, it's not a top 25 matchups or anything. It's just week zero. It's kind of the appetizer for the main course. But I think if you're one of the teams that are playing during week zero, whether you're Florida State or Nebraska or UNLV or North Carolina, any one of these teams, I would hate to be putting you in a category of an appetizer for the main course. I mean, yeah, Florida State's playing Duquesne, right? And UNLV hosting Idaho State. And even though Nebraska is playing Northwestern, Nebraska is a pretty heavy favorite to win that game in Ireland. Yeah, there's not a lot of matchups that would make you go ooh and ah, but the games still do count. So week zero, I hope we can come up with a better term for it, because it's not week one, I get it, but week zero just doesn't sound like it matters at all. But college football is starting this weekend. But coming up, all right, I keep saying it. I'll keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. What are we doing with these joint practices? What happened in Cincinnati? Rams and Bengals. Holy cow. And also, the NBA losing yet another young star. We'll talk about that as well.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we get you to your Friday and the weekend. I said it at the top of the hour. I don't want to discredit week zero in college football. There's nothing to pop. There's nothing that's eye-opening. I mean, there's that game in Ireland that seems pretty good. But yet, I don't want to discount it either. I mean, these teams have all been working out in camp. They're ready to start the season. You know, they're all excited. Some of them have pretty cool NIL deals, you know, so they're all really excited to start. And then here we are going, yeah, week zero, college football really starts Labor Day weekend. This is more like a taste of what you can expect. But, it doesn't pop. And I've seen the argument for people that says, look, should we have a top 25 matchup? I mean, should we try to schedule games? I don't think it's necessary. I don't think you need to sell this weekend at all. You want to start it this weekend because of just the way the schedule works out, and you want to kind of kickstart it with a few games. I don't think you need a big, huge one game on Saturday that sort of because I think it does diminish what we end up having during the Labor Day holiday. The Labor Day holiday is great. I mean, for college football, because it owns the entire weekend, right? I mean, like there's a whole, like if you look at the schedule, there's a huge list of games on Thursday night. Then there's games on Saturday, and there's games on Sunday, and there's games on Monday. And most of the big games that you'll see in Atlanta, you'll see in Arlington or some other places, those are going to occur during that weekend. And that's where the traditional weekend is. So, no, I don't think, you know, two major programs need to play in week zero to sort of make week zero a must-see weekend. I think if your team is playing this weekend, you watch. And if you like college football, you watch. And if you don't have any interest in Duquesne, Florida State, or North Carolina A&M against North Carolina, you don't. You don't. And then you watch during Labor Day. Preseason football in the NFL is the same way. I mean, some of you don't watch anything, any of your teams in the preseason. Some of you watch all three games and analyze everything, right? It's not, you know, we have a regular season feel to football that I mean, maybe I'm more of a traditionalist, but I don't really need you to mess with that. You know, we're doing this, we've done this debate for a long time about preseason games, right? And you know how I've always said, look, if you want to play 10 preseason games, I don't care. I don't care. My season starts. I know when the regular season starts. I know when week one is supposed to be. It ain't going to get me there faster if you play one preseason game, zero preseason games, 10 preseason games. I just don't like being charged full price for it if you're a season ticket holder. That's the one aspect of it I hate. Make the tickets $10. I don't care. But once you're charging full price for preseason games, and that's part of the season package, that's ridiculous. The Titans, I'll give you a story here. The Titans last year, number one seed in the AFC, 12 victories, right? Not a lot has changed. They're not getting a new quarterback. Derrick Henry's still on the team. Mike Vrabel's still the head coach. They had some things to like. I mean, yeah, Adrian Brown's gone, but nevertheless, Treylon Burks is a new wide receiver galore for the Titans. But celebratory nature. Sure, they lost in the playoffs to Cincinnati, but whatever. Couldn't give tickets away for the game against the Buccaneers last weekend. Couldn't give them away. People were on, our little town's Facebook page. Got two tickets to the Titans. I'll take it for a loss, right? Tried to sell them for face value. Nobody wanted to buy them. Took it at a loss. People couldn't give them away. One station I'm doing some high school football with, they were offered tickets, refused them because they knew they couldn't give them away, right? It's still expensive to go to a preseason game, even if you get free tickets. It's still expensive to go to a preseason game. Parking isn't cheap. Concessions aren't cheap. So even if you go with a free ticket, you're still putting out some money to see nothing. I mean, really nothing. So people would say, let's get rid of the preseason. And then I would go, okay, well, then what are you going to replace it with? Like, oh, we'll move the season to August. I mean, that's stupid. Like, that's not football season. I'm sorry. I mean, I know we love football and we wish it was all the time, but no, football starts when it starts at that first week of September, right after Labor Day. That's when it is. I don't want Major League Baseball games played in January, right? I know when football season is. I'm sorry August is boring, but the reality of it is it is. We all get through it, and when we get to Labor Day, college football hits the schedule, and then NFL hits the schedule. I don't need to move up the season. You want to push it to February? All right, fine. That's good. We're doing that now. I grew up at a time where Super Bowl was never played in February. Then it was. Now it is all the time. You want to do that? That's fine. But not playing NFL meaningful games in August. And it's ridiculous. We'll survive it. College football, kind of the same thing. I'm not a huge fan of week zero, but scheduling and maybe getting a bigger footprint for the sport, I don't know. It's there, but don't put Alabama USC in that week. Don't put, Penn State and, Auburn that week. Like, don't put the big, huge beginning of the season matchups that you get. Don't put them there. I don't want to see Clemson take on Georgia in week zero. I don't want to see any of that. You want to do Duquesne, Florida State? Perfect. You want to do Chattanooga versus Alabama? That's fine, too. Well, not even Alabama. I don't even want Alabama to play. I mean, I looked it up, and I was like, any top 25 teams? None. So that's week zero. All right, so you heard me say this all preseason. I'm not a fan of joint practices. In fact, I kind of don't like them. I think in the end, what they're known for is the fights that occur, and it just feels like it's inevitable that the teams are going to get in a scrum. And I know coaches like it, so I'll defer to their better judgment. But I also know in my experience that coaches tend to like things because they think they should like it. If the NFL said no joint practices, no one can get together, I don't think the coaches are going to lose any sleep over it. If everybody's on the same competitive page, meaning no one's getting joint practices, so no one's getting the benefit of them when there is a benefit to them, I don't think coaches are going to lose sleep. But the coaches seem to like them. It allows the starters to get some work against other starters. That is not a preseason game, right? We heard there was one coach that said, I think it was Dan Campbell, I'm not sure, but said, look, players can get about 30 reps against a first-team defense and first-team offense. Starters can get about 30 reps in a joint workout, in one day of a joint workout, where they're not going to see that in a preseason game. But inevitably what happens is these things end up in fights. And yesterday in Cincinnati, the Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals got in a scrum. A real scrum. It was bad. Lyle Collins was involved. Aaron Donald was involved. Next thing you know, helmets are off players, and video was starting to show that some of them were being swung. Which, come on. If we're swinging helmets in joint practices, let's start reevaluating joint practices. Now, what was interesting is that both coaches sort of downplayed this. Sean McVay and Zach Taylor were like, yeah, you know, it's just a scrum. We ended practice early anyway because we were in the final practice session of the day. We just decided to call it quits. I'm sorry, if it was the first practice of the day, you would have called it quits. Don't pretend like you called it quits because, yeah, we were done anyway. You would have called it quits. If helmets are being swung, how in God's name are you going to continue a workout? Seriously. If Aaron Donald or whoever is swinging helmets, how are you going to continue a workout? You don't think somebody else is going to want to get involved in that, especially who you're throwing the helmet to? Yeah, so don't give me the, nah, we were kind of finished. Eh, it didn't really matter. We were just wrapping it up. I think if that happened in the first 2 minutes of yesterday's joint practice, they would have gone, yeah, everybody go home. We're done. We're done with this. Go back to the hotel. Chill out, or go work out over there. We'll work out over here if you want to get some work in before our preseason game. Do whatever you want to do, but we're not going to be doing it together. Right? They're downplaying it. Of course they are. But then I found out that, you know, my first thought was, oh my God, the NFL is going to go ballistic on this, swinging helmets. Then I found out that the NFL, when it comes to these joint practices and training camp in general, sort of leave it up to the teams to punish and sort of, you know, to sort of enact discipline in those settings. So now it's up to Sean McVay and Zach Taylor to do their own sort of discipline, or the organization. And they're the kind of the face of the organization as head coach. Maybe it comes from somewhere else. So we'll see if anything comes out of this. And probably not. Nobody got seriously hurt. They didn't take anybody to the hospital because they got whacked over the head. But again, I don't know. The list, here's the thing. The list is pretty good with benefits to joint practices, right? All right, they do get some work against first teams. The players do seem to like it. It's a change of pace from boring old training camp. So there's a lot of pluses to it. Believe me, I'm not naive to this. I've seen plenty of joint practices. I've talked to a lot of coaches. I've been in press conferences where coaches talk about the benefits. But the number one reason that I don't like them is because inevitably they end up in these kind of skirmishes. And coaches can downplay them all they want, but it's a terrible look and somebody's going to get hurt. You know, it just doesn't seem like that's what you want to deal with as an organization. All right, watching Hard Knocks the other day, Dan Campbell was talking about they were going down to Indianapolis and they were going to do joint practices with the coach. Campbell said, if you start a fight, you are cut. He goes, that's it. He goes, we're going down there. We are going to be, you know, in these joint sessions. If you start a fight, you're cut immediately. Which, by the way, I don't think if Aiden Hutchinson, you know, started a fight, I don't think the Lions would cut him. But he was really talking to a lot of players on the bubble, because those are the ones that are the more dangerous ones. That's one of the reasons I don't dig joint practices. because I don't think, you know, even though Aaron Donald was kind of involved in this, Lyle Collins, they're veteran players, and veteran players do get in these scuffles. I do worry about the young players that really want to make an impact, that want to defend their team, that want to get involved whenever there's a scuffle to show that they've got the players back because they're earning a spot on the roster. Their play is good, but they may need that little extra thing to show that they got grit and heart and maybe go a little over the top. We'll see if the Rams and the Bengals actually punish anybody for this. I doubt it. But in the end, they were both downplayed what was going on. But it's yet another story of yet another brawl and yet another joint practice. So they may get some benefit, but in the end, these are what happens. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up, news in the NBA, and it is huge. The loss of a rookie for the entire year in something I'm wondering if he should have been involved in the first place. That's next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. All right, so Chet Holmgren, the number two overall pick, the Gonzaga star, you know, 7'1", and what, 100 pounds soaking wet? He is out for the entire NBA season. Out for the entire NBA season. I don't want to laugh because that's sad. Oklahoma City is being, you know, is rebuilding. He is the reason they're rebuilt. Look, him and Josh Giddey, when they were in the summer league this year, they were putting a real show together. They were really doing well. But at Seattle Pacific University, there was this pro-am basketball game. But it wasn't just a pro-am basketball game. This was LeBron James, Jason Tatum. There was a number of stars in this thing. This wasn't just, you know, he was getting together with a bunch of guys, you know, that and was like, whoops, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have been playing in this pickup basketball game. No, he was playing in a pro-am that had NBA stars in it, DeJounte Murray, Aaron Gordon. I mean, there was a lot of guys in this, including, again, LeBron James, who he was guarding on a fast break and then suffered a foot injury, a Liz Frank injury, and now he is done for the upcoming season. Now, this is a little surprising to people who follow Chet Holmgren's career because despite this, he's 7'1", and he's like 180 pounds. I mean, he doesn't have much size. In fact, that's one of the things that people pointed out about him when he was going to the NBA. He was going to have to eat. Right? He was going to have to build up some get him some mass. But that he never really suffered any injuries. He didn't get hurt a lot. And so even through high school and at Gonzaga, he didn't get hurt. And now he's hurt immediately. And it was because of this pro-am game. But there's a little twist to this story, which if I'm Oklahoma City, it would just frustrate me. It was found out, you know, later in the game that the game was called off. So you got this huge crowd. They're there to see the NBA stars, including LeBron. It's at Seattle Pacific University. And they called the game off in the second quarter because, and here's the reason why, this floor was slippery. There was condensation. There was some humidity. And the floor was slippery. Now, they don't know if this directly affected Holmgren's injury, but, you know, like, just put two and two together here, and you can come up with probably an answer that maybe it did. I mean, look, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know for sure, but if you've got a guy that suffers a major foot injury, and then later on, they called the game off because condensation's on the floor, and it's too humid, and it's too wet, well, I'm just going to speculate that maybe, just maybe, the wetness of the floor has caused this injury and rookie Chet Holmgren is now done for the season. And if I'm Oklahoma City, this would kind of make me upset. Look, I don't know who's behind the pro-am. I don't know where it came from or whatnot. Hope they have good insurance or something like that. You got a bunch of NBA stars on a wet floor. Ugh. Now, I feel bad for the Thunder in a way, Thunder fans, because again, you put up in the NBA, you put up with bad seasons and rebuilds to get a player like him, right? You get the number two pick to get a player like him. And Josh Giddey, again, who was kind of their guard. He went and played in the summer league. He didn't have to, but he did because of two reasons. One, the Thunder are rebuilding, and he's going to be a major reason why. Kid from Australia that they drafted the year before. And he really wanted to work with Holmgren. He wanted to see if there was a connection and what they could work on as, again, they're going to be part of this rebuild for the Thunder. And there was a lot of enthusiasm on what that could look like. Nobody thought the Thunder were world beaters and were going to go up against Golden State. But when you're talking building block and building block and building block into something down the road that's good, now we're talking, right? So now it's gone. And it's gone not because the Oklahoma City Thunder had a legitimate training camp. It was because, again, there's this pro-am game in Seattle. LeBron's there. Jason Tatum's there. DeJounte Murray's there. Right? And all of a sudden, Chet Holmgren has got a foot injury. And he's done for the year. Done for the year. And that's the reason why. A wet floor at a pro-am game. I know I'm taking a step back, but defending LeBron James of all people. Like at a pro-am game, first of all, this is not like one of those sanctioned things. Like where you could just go, all right, it's like a summer league or anything. He's backing up. LeBron is coming at him. He's backing up to defend LeBron in a pro-am game where the crowd just wants to see some fun. I'm not saying back down, but I'm saying, like, I don't know, take two steps back and let LeBron do his thing. Don't risk the injury. So as he's backing up, he kind of twists a little bit, and then he's, like, limping off to the side. It's amazing, these foot injuries, man. I've never had a major foot injury before, but it isn't amazing when guys get these things and they're like, no, that's a 12-month injury. Like, he's not coming back in 4 to 6 weeks. Liz Frank injury? Golly. Twisting it, whatever happened to him. But, yeah, they showed him on the side. He's looking down on it. He can't walk on it. He was done. And that's got to be that sinking feeling that occurs, right, with a player. Because players
Especially
a rookie. And they know. They go, oh, no, this isn't good. Uh-uh. This is not good. Imagine the thrilling, exciting feeling he had just, I don't know, 2 months ago?
Not even that. I would say, when was the draft? It was
two months ago. End of June.
Was it end of June?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we are at the end of August. Wow.
It's like 2 months ago he's getting drafted. It's draft night. He's wearing flashy clothes.
He's already thinking big picture for himself.
Right.
Like, you know, hey, I'm a top draft pick. I could probably be rookie of the year.
This is going to be great.
I'm going to make a difference with this team.
I'm all excited. I loved my summer league. Felt really good. Did some good things.
Whole nation is talking about him more than any of the other draft picks.
Yeah, right. And now he want to be in this pro-am game with LeBron and DeJounte Murray and Jason Tate. He's like, yeah, heck yeah. Seattle, I went to school at Gonzaga. All right, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, but do we blame LeBron for this now?
Yeah, well, it's LeBron's fault.
It's LeBron's fault.
You don't have to. Do you have to go to the hole so hard, LeBron James? The rookie is trying to guard you. He's backpedaling.
Just a rookie. Come on.
Just let him go. Let him do his thing. Yeah, LeBron. But, I mean, can you imagine this is just a little pro-am game, but whew. And then they call it off. They're like, yeah, whoops. Sorry. It's wet. It's too slippery. And they think this had... Now, he didn't fall down. Like, when you think of slippery, I don't want you to think like banana peel. Like, banana, whoop! Like, he probably planted a foot that was a little wet, and it slid enough that it twisted the foot. Because he didn't fall down. He was backpedaling, and LeBron was coming at him, and then he kind of twists and move, and then LeBron makes the bucket, and then he's off to the side, and you could just see him kind of just limping, and he's like, oh. Then he gets down and look at his feet, and he's like, I'm out. I'm done. This is bad. Chet Holmgren, done for the season. We hardly knew you. We barely got to know you at Gonzaga. 1 year at Gonzaga, and now we're not going to see you in the first year in the NBA. Hardly knew you, kid. Oh, I feel bad. Too bad. And for Thunder fans that were like, oh, God, we were building something. I mean, I love the way that the organization goes, he's going to have a long future, blah, 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 trying to put a little positive spin on it.
You know who else did? Greg Oden.
Right? Oh, yeah, right. Oh, goodness. Don't worry. There's still plenty of draft picks in the Thunder arsenal over the next few years to rebuild it.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Will Gray is going to join us later on this morning. We'll talk some golf with him. Tour Championship is underway at East Lake Golf Club outside Atlanta. And you know, did you know they did this? They do this tournament differently than other tournaments in that golfers get like a head start on the field based on their FedEx points totals.
Well, I was going to say, is it a shotgun tournament and everyone gets paid?
Right, right, right.
No.
Yeah, that would be unique, wouldn't it? So what they do is they this is what was going on before, right? So I got to tell you, man. I mean, I make my living doing like following sports. I have zero idea how the golf playoffs work. I have no idea who's in it, how you get in it, whatever. But you get points. The playoffs start. You get points, and then the top 30 in the FedEx point standings get to go to East Lake. Now, this is a tournament where everybody's going to get paid. There's no cuts, and everybody's going to get paid because it's a tour championship. So if you get to go to Atlanta, you're going to get a pretty good check. And then they're all vying for like a $15 million championship prize. So you'll win the tournament and get paid, and then there's the big end of the season. You've won it all. Here's like $15 million. And Scottie Scheffler leads the points. So what would happen is that players would go and they would come in as points leader, and then somebody could win that event, could win the tour championship and claim the money for the tournament, and it might be enough to win the tour championship. And so they didn't really want that one event to be the decider for the whole season. So what they did was they said, okay, when we get to the East Lake, based on the standings of the 30 guys that are coming, we will put you guys in a position with a score already on the book. All right? So Scottie Scheffler, for example, he is the number one player. He gets to start the tournament at 10 under par. And then Patrick Cantlay, who is second, he gets to start the tournament at 8 under par. He didn't earn those strokes. He just gets them. He gets like a head start. So if you're like further back, you're like at 1 under or whatever, you're already 9 shots behind the leader on at the start of the tournament. It's so that, you know, if you've earned all season long, you've earned this position, you get to start the tournament with a cushion, if you will. People don't like it, but it is a fair way to do it, I guess, if you're talking about a season long thing. You know, NASCAR used to be a sport where they went this whole season and the champion of the season was the person at the end of all the races that had the most points. And sometimes the driver championship was decided in, you know, 2 weeks left of the regular season. Sometimes it was decided in the final race, but it was one of those things where we reward for a whole year's worth of work. And whatever reason, Americans went, yeah, we don't really like that. We like playoffs. We like underdogs. We like you. We like coming out of nowhere. So NASCAR changed their format to have a playoff. Golf kind of did the same thing. Golf went, yeah, I guess we like playoffs too, so let's create one. Although it's not really well defined. But nevertheless, Scottie Scheffler is at 15 under par going into round two today. And if you didn't know that, you would have thought, oh my God, what did he shoot? A 57? No, he did not shoot. He did not shoot that. He shot a 5 under par, 65, and that allowed him to add to his minus 10 total. And now he's 50. He's got a 5-shot lead heading into round two today. So there you go. That's how the golf works. So Will Gray is going to join us. But we'll talk to him about that. What's this Tiger Rory League thing that they've done? It's like esports?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I saw that there was like a big announcement and everything. And I went, Oh, wait. What is this?
Yeah, we need help explaining what exactly this is.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is an esports thing. Like, you know, I don't know. Is esports golf a big deal? Like it is in...
Well, I was just wondering, is it like a golf simulator?
Yeah.
And I mean, are they bringing in like professional players into a golf simulator and having a contest?
Hmm.
I mean, that could be kind of interesting.
It could be kind of interesting, but wouldn't it be better if it was like video games?
Maybe.
Oh, like, because video, like, golf simulator, you still have to be good at golf, right? Yeah. So why not just be good at golf? But a golf video game, you don't have to be good at golf. You just have to be good at the golf video.
Because they can show this in prime time.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess we're not interested in video games in prime time yet, are we?
I have no idea.
When will there be the first prime time network Fortnite competition or whatever? When are we getting that?
I don't think we'll ever get that.
No?
I don't. Well,
you don't think ever?
I say never, but
you think ABC one day will go, you know what? We're throwing it on.
Wouldn't that be like a
Friday night?
I feel like that would be like a ESPN Ocho thing.
Oh no! Now today, that's why I'm asking the question, because today it's an ESPN Ocho thing. That's why I'm asking the question. Do you think there's ever going to be a point where you find it on? Like, we laugh at it now, but like, there's a generation
10 years
that's
from now,
coming.
20 years
be,
from now, yeah.
Yeah, there's a generation that's coming. It's like, I'm sorry, Grandpa, that you didn't like video games as a sport, but we do, and we watch it. Because
like Call of Duty tournament. Because
let me ask you this. Let's say you are a person that is involved in the, you know, you're just advertising, right? Like you're in Madison Avenue somebody, and you're watching trends to see what's popular, what do kids like, etc. And then you go, you go to one of these events, like at the old Staples Center, and there's like 15,000 people watching a Call of Duty tournament or whatever they're doing. I don't know. Wouldn't you go, wait a minute, there's something here. There's something here. If they're all showing up for this, I wonder if we should do something like this.
The truth is, you actually do have that. I mean, you do have people showing up and watching these games.
Yeah.
I look at my own boys will watch streamers, gaming streamers.
Right.
And they're watching them play, which boggles my mind because that was the worst part about going to an arcade.
All right, so let's go back to my original question. I know. Let's go back to my original question. We're laughing at the idea of network television video games.
You brought up something I'm not a fan of, Tony.
People are getting paid. I have a friend of mine who just got a little check because he plays something streaming and he made a little money off of it.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not a lot of money, but he's making a little money off of it. So it's not. No,
there are some that are, so widely popular that that's their whole basis of living. I know one of the guys, he's kind of old now and he's not as popular as he once was, but this gamer named Ninja. Everyone loved Ninja. Ninja has actually appeared like on reality shows. And I think he was pulling.
All right, so we just talked ourselves out of the idea that this is a stupid idea will never happen.
I mean,
like we were both like, nah, never.
I think
never.
You know what's going to
a million years
a
from
million
now.
From you, we'll be long and dead. We'll be worm
and then we were
food
like,
by
wait
the time
a minute,
that comes
hold
around.
On. People are watching other people play. There are 15,000 people are showing up at the Staples Center to watch these tournaments. This
you know
like,
how it's
going.
This
sudden,
is how it's
like,
going to happen. It's going to happen in during a summer. Where, like, you know, an ABC, CBS, NBC, they don't have anything else to show. And they're like, well, you know, there's an e-tournament on, or video game tournament. They're doing Call of Duty. Why don't we just slap that on? And the prize money is like $100,000 or something like that.
That's how it's
going to happen. It'll be like some throwaway thing on a Saturday afternoon, but that'll be the start.
Is anybody watching Holy Moly, the mini golf thing?
Steph Curry's thing? No.
Yeah. Is anybody watching that? Is anybody watching Peyton Manning's new Jenga thing?
I thought he was doing like a sports Jeopardy thing.
Is anybody doing that?
With his brother.
Yeah, I mean, like, what about Elizabeth Banks? She's doing pressure luck. Like, is anybody watching those things? Like, you're right. Why not throw a video game tournament on and go, well, it's better than whatever else is on right now. Like, I mean, is anybody watching some of this stuff? Like, I watch some of this stuff and go, isn't it? What is the, they have that one game show, like that I was just talking about, where it's like a big, don't tip the tower of food or something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, you'd have to tie me to a chair to watch that.
Hey, listen, you know what? If you told me 20 years ago, you know, there's going to be a show and it's going to be kind of interesting where you watch people build Legos.
Yeah.
You know, and there's prize money attached to it. I mean, and it's actually a fun show. I've watched it a couple of times. Lego Masters, where these guys just build these extravagant looking things with Legos. And you're like, I cannot believe that this has become a thing.
I'm telling you right now.
You're 100% right with this, man. I'm sorry for doubting you.
You dismissed it like it was ridiculous. And now listen to us. Yeah. Look, trends change. I mean, that's just the way it is. And again, if you're programming and these networks, yeah, you do understand the largeness of it, right? You try to be, it's one of the reasons why we talk about this a lot, where I know I mentioned this when you were on vacation, that if you show me a television show, just by the feel of it and the dialogue of it, I can tell whether it's a network show or an AMC show,
yeah,
or an FX show. If it's a little bit more gritty, if it's a little bit more dark, I think it's a cable production. If it's a little lighter, a little less dark, then I'm gonna go, this is a CBS Tuesday night, you know, cop drama, right? Just because that's the way you're accustomed. So if you're a network, you go, I do understand the broad appeal of this. You know, hey, look, I try to be as less niche as cable, but at the same time, if you're seeing a trend where you're like 18 to 34, they're watching this, they're paying to watch this. People play video games. You might go, screw it, we'll put it on, see what happens, see what it gets, right? And maybe it gets nothing, and we never see it in our lifetime, but maybe it does well. I don't know, but
man, I in our lifetime, I think it's coming sooner than. Yeah. We originally thought, just, you know, like
it'll probably be
10
ESPN,
minutes ago.
ABC. Like, it'll probably be like a
Saturday. That's what I'm
night.
Saying. I could see. Yeah. That's what I said. I mean, the start will probably be just a throwaway hour, and they'll be like, wow, you know, that did better than we thought. What if we threw it and slapped it in prime time? You know, and it could be like a Madden. I don't think it would be a sports game either. I think it would be a game like all the kids are playing, like a Fortnite battle or whatever. I don't even know if they play Fortnite anymore.
Can I throw a twist in this, though?
Of course.
That would go in the opposite direction?
Drop the Alfred Hitchcock twist on us.
So let's say you're in a conference room and somebody goes, we got to put these video games. It would attract young people to watch it on network. And then somebody in the room goes, yeah, I got three teenagers and they don't watch TV at all. Like, there's a way to get this without, they just don't watch TV.
That's true.
And you go, trust me on this when I tell you, if this was on network TV and somehow they could watch it on their phone, they can watch it on their phone.
Right. But this would be a way for networks to go, hey guys, you know what? We're losing the youth of a nation.
So let's get them back to network
TV.
Let's
try to get them back to network TV. We'll slap every fun TV show that we're debuting coming this fall. But meanwhile, we're having this Call of Duty tournament, and that's what's going to bring in the young kids.
Got it.
And you can only see it here, not on streaming.
That makes sense.
They would have to buy. They would have to buy the exclusive rights to it.
There you go. Look at us. We solved
Madison Avenue. We did it for you again.
Solved the problem. All right. We'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We'll also get Will Gray coming up as well to talk golf with us. And we'll also look back on the week that was in the NFC West and all of the teams as we sort of process what we learned here on the Friday. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So you get to see a little Tom Brady tonight, a little bit of him. And then you get to see some of the quarterbacks.
What do we think, one series?
Yeah, oh yeah, right?
Maybe.
Why doesn't Tom Brady go, no, I'm not going to play. I'm not playing in a preseason game. Why does he pull the Aaron Rodgers and go, I'm not playing? It's not how this works.
But, Tom, why don't you need to play?
Yeah. Unless Tom goes, all right, I'll play.
Or six of these.
Yeah. Like, it's so... I wouldn't play in a preseason game if I was even if I wasn't even a star. If I was an established, just like I was a good player, I was under contract. You know, I didn't need. I wouldn't be in one of these things. I'm sorry, I just wouldn't.
No,
No point. You can be like, I'm competitive. No, I'm competitive when it counts. Like, I'm not competitive when you're evaluating stuff.
I mean, I feel like we're just around the corner of preseason games and the quarterbacks are wearing red shirts.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
and just games. Everyone knows, like, okay, you know what, guys, just don't touch the quarterback.
It's so funny because Matt LaFleur, he was toying with the idea. The Kansas City Chiefs played Green Bay last night, and they were toying with the idea of Aaron Rodgers playing. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played in a preseason game since 2018.
Oh, he would have said.
Like, are you kidding me? He was toying with the idea. Did you check with with Aaron Rodgers first before you speculated that you were going to play him against the Chiefs?
I think he would have turned to the coach like, Coach, I don't even bring my pads.
Coach, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm in.
I left my helmet at home.
What part of street clothes do you not understand? I'm not wearing a I'm not wearing a uniform.
I'll put Packers gear on, but that's as far as I'm going to go.
Exactly. God, I mean, Patrick Mahomes was out for that little huddle thing, and he didn't play. They had three quarterbacks you'll never see again. No, this is Jordan Love time in August in Green Bay. That's what they want from him. Jordan Love is their designated preseason starter. That's what they do. One day he'll get the job, but not today. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sportsman Radio.